Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everybody, Derek here with Screen Heroes from the Heroes Podcast Network. This week we've got a very special episode of Screen Heroes, episode 92. It's a live panel from Kansas City Comic Con, which was this past weekend in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. And we had a live audience participation panel talking about the various live action Batman movies, all nine of them. And we rank them from worst to best. So stay tuned and listen to that. And then let us know if you think we got our rankings right or wrong at Heroes Podcasts on Twitter and Facebook. Hope you enjoy.
We are the Screen Heroes Podcast. We are a mobile podcasting network. We have a total of five shows, and this is our flagship show. We talk about movies and TV primarily in the superhero, sci-fi, and fantasy genres, but we like to talk a little bit about everything. We start every podcast off with a little bit of news. We like to keep fresh with pop culture, get your reaction to what's going on, say things like, Rian Johnson is now doing a whole new Star Wars trilogy for Disney. So hopefully Last Jedi is good, otherwise this is a very bad move.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's really excited to do this movie, and he had a really good time with it, so I think that him giving him another trilogy, somebody that's so excited about it, is going to be a good thing. It can't be bad, I imagine. And that probably means they're killing off the Skywalker saga, too, and that's pretty much over, starting a new corner of the Star Wars universe.
It's time for the Kenobi saga.
It's time for the Old Republic. Old Republic, come on.
All right, but we are here to talk about Batman. So just short introductions. I am Derek, one of the hosts on Screen Heroes.
I'm Ray, or Siren Ray. I have a booth here in the cosplay section. If you hit the bus, you've gone too far.
Just good life advice, don't hit the bus.
Yeah, right.
I'm Ryan. I am half of Buster Props. We have a table in the artist area, so come check out. We
make
cool Batman stuff and all kinds of other heroes too. But Batman's why we're here, so.
Yeah, so basically we are going to be ranking the live-action Batman movies, going back to the 1966 Adam West film, and then up through Batman vs. Superman that came out more recently, of course. We're not including Justice League or Suicide Squad for two different reasons, but... those are all the movies that are going to be kind of up for play. So no animation, no TV, just live action films.
I tried. I really wanted to get like Batman Under the Red Hood, and
there's so many of them.
I know, but they're so good.
Justice League Dark Batman. I mean, come on, he stole the show.
It was his. It should have been Batman in Justice League Dark.
So just real quick to go through these chronologically, so you know what's up for grabs. So the 1966 Adam West Batman. The 1989 Michael Keaton Batman, Batman Returns, Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, the whole Nolan trilogy. So Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight Rises, and then BVS.
This is audience participation too, so we have a mic out here floating around, so if you guys have some input, please tell us when we're wrong, because, I mean, I'm never wrong, but these two you might need to correct, so.
So if you agree with Ryan, he wants you to speak up.
Definitely, yeah. If you disagree, the mic is probably not going to work for you, so I have a button over here to press.
If you haven't noticed, the three of us are all very opinionated and passionate about geekdom, so our rankings tend to be very argumentative, and that's why we thought it would be fun for an audience participation type of thing.
So we should probably kick things off then. We would normally go from what we think is the worst film in that.
It's Batman and Robin!
And then we need to go to the best film. So, yeah, Batman and Robin is usually, I think, widely agreed to be the worst. I'm going to throw out the Dark Knight Rises, though.
I agree with you on that.
The Dark Knight Rises was fairly awful, but at no point did Christian Bale pull out a Batman visa.
But it was a joke. He did have time to oil the bat symbol on a bridge and set it on fire.
Like, you did that in a serious way, whereas the original Goonies thing was a joke, you know?
Did you know that there is a secret tunnel from the Middle East to Gotham directly, and that's how he got back?
He built it himself.
He
started digging right after his parents.
So here's my ending Batman and Robin, which I was like,
decisions have been
all
made.
This stuff came from comic books, right? Comic books are always campy and always cheesy and very colorful, and Dark Knight Rises is none of those things, really. It takes itself way too seriously. Bane was a terrible...
Okay, so Bane was so great in Batman and Robin.
No, I mean, he was at least closer to his comic book counterpart.
Smash! No, that's Hulk, that's not Bane.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Bane has been bad in both of his live action interpretations.
So those cancel each other out. I mean, everything else from Batman and Robin was closer to comic book.
Alright,
so let's do this.
Vote counts as like 12, so what do you guys think? Batman and Robin...
So let's do a vote. Let's do this. So if you think Batman and Robin is the worst live-action Batman movie, raise your hands. So basically our hands. Okay.
That many people with wrong opinion in here? This is going to go really well.
Just out of curiosity, how about The Dark Knight Rises? We got right. 1, 2, 3... And then 5.
Wow.
If you include us. All right.
So, is it fair to say that we can put Batman and Robin at the bottom and Dark Knight Rises next?
Does anybody have any argument for any other Batman movie being worse than Dark Knight Rises, other than Batman and Robin? No.
Okay. All right. So let's do that then.
So is there 10 movies in total?
I'm counting.
Please do. Let's get the mic.
Grab the mic there.
The other thing that makes me mad about Dark Knight Rises is we need a doctor to deal with a spinal injury.
Not random shaman in your prison cell? You definitely wouldn't be swinging from a rope tied around your waist 5 minutes later.
That could re-injure your back.
No, I'm sorry. That is death. If you climb something with a rope tied around your waist and you fall, that is death.
It was the dry heat.
does some push-ups and some pull-ups.
It's
bad in shape.
He's
how real life works.
Wow, he's more physically fit after his back heals than the beginning of the movie before his back is broken. So it was a magical back breaking that healed him completely.
On behalf of medical science, I'm upset.
Of all medical science.
Okay, so that leaves us with number 7. Number 9 is Batman and Robin. Number 8 is The Dark Knight Rises. I'm going to pass along to one of you guys and I'll make the next.
Batman Forever.
Okay.
So here's my reason.
But there weren't bat nipples yet.
There were no. I'm definitely not saying anything about bat nipples. That's why Batman and Robin is already on the list.
There were some very prominent cod pieces, though.
That's true.
Nothing wrong with that. You're super straight. You might as well dance, you know, something.
When you're a 12-year-old girl coming into your sexuality and watching that,
Val Kilmer does it for everybody.
It was David Bowie in Labyrinth and Val Kilmer in that movie, and I was like, yep, I like boys.
Batman Forever began when Batman and Robin finished. It began taking the tone of the Tim Burton movies, which was a little darker, of course, a little more serious, less kid-friendly, and making a movie to sell action figures.
Yes.
And that was
a lot of point.
He was,
but it doesn't look like a Tim Burton movie. It doesn't feel like a Tim Burton movie. It was designed to sell toys, just like the second Ninja Turtles film, right? And so it completely changed the tone and the direction they were going. I think that it's the weirdest of the Batman movies because it's nowhere near as funny as Batman and Robin is, but it's also not as serious as the others. Jim Carrey is so... I love Jim Carrey, but that Riddler is so over the top, right?
I mean, as much as the Riddler wants to be considered one of Batman's most dangerous villains, he never has been. Hush was the closest thing to it, and you don't even know it until the very last page or so. But...
Spoiler, he's pretty good.
Oh my god, it's like a 15-year-old comic. Come on, read a book once in a while.
I've read it. Well, how about this? Anybody in the audience think something other than Batman Forever needs to go next on the list?
I personally think that Batman v Superman should be a little bit lower. Not because it was a terrible film.
Do you think it belongs here?
It's a Batman and Superman film. I want to see the Ben Affleck Batman solo film, but this was
Batman Forever is a Batman and Robin film.
No, it is not. Chris O'Donnell does not exist.
So, I mean, if we put Batman Forever here, then all three movies with Robin are at the bottom of the list.
There are three movies with Robin?
Well, I mean, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, come off it.
They call him Robin. It's the most worst thing. Such a
okay,
in that case, Robin Scherbatsky is also Robin.
She's not in any of the Batman movies.
Oh,
so
my
Robin.
God.
I think the Avengers are a Batman film.
Yes, yes. You in the back, you agreed that Batman and the Superman should be kind of
torn. I'm not saying it shouldn't be down at the bottom, but I don't know about, I don't know, that's a tough one. Yeah, I think Batman vs. Superman comes next. I like the plot idea of Batman Forever and kind of questioning himself, which is executed really poorly, I think.
I agree.
And Batman v. Superman, I really didn't get like Batman's motivation, just all Superman. He there's a 1% possibility he can hurt people, we gotta take him out. That's, you know, come on. And just, I didn't get that detective Batman that I'm used to.
To be fair, like almost none of the movies have a detective Batman.
I agree.
This guy wants to talk.
Yeah.
Chris is getting his exercise today.
Yep.
We're
making
work.
Another jack out sweat.
Well, I think it's kind of funny, like, well, I think Batman vs. Superman should be lower than Batman Forever because, like, he's saying that, like, Superman kills people, but some of the stuff Batman does, these people probably won't surmise, like, oh, I don't kill people. And
Michael Keaton
killed a lot of people. We're going to get into a rant here because Batman has killed people in pretty much every one of these movies we have on the list, and the only one that I think he may be questionable is Clooney. And so if we're ranking it by like which one didn't kill Batman, then Clooney is going to be.
Well,
at the
I don't
top.
Think Adam West ever killed anybody.
I mean, there's some weird stuff.
I mean,
Adam
looked,
West, maybe
he,
Adam West. Okay, I'll
just,
get into that.
He avoided the nuns and ducks, but was there anybody else under the water? We don't know.
Well, but I do agree. I mean, you make a fair point. I just the killing people thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
because I know in the video game, it's just not a movie at all. He's like, I'm just gonna like. Hit him with a tank, shoot him. Oh, and then I check and think, oh, they're just unconscious, they're good.
Right, yeah, they're good. They still got a heartbeat. I know that because of my detective vision, right? Like, it really got motivated.
If
anybody
still puts Batman on this moral pedestal, there is a scene in the comics where there's a burning orphanage in the background, and he decides to have sex with Black Canary instead, and all these children die. They never rescue the burning orphanage. So
it's all in the same comic cell, which is amazing. Yeah.
I guess what it comes down to is which movie did you all enjoy more, BBS or Batman Forever?
Batman Forever.
So let's do the vote then. So
love the vote.
Who
working out?
Yeah, the voting is good. I like that. So who thinks that next on the list should be Batman for Batman Forever? So we got one. We got one. We got two.
Okay.
So I'm right on voting on 2 or 3. And then
BBS.
Is everybody.
That's fair. I'm not sorry. That was
so sad.
I would like to make a disclaimer. While I enjoyed Batman Forever, the movie, more, I still prefer Ben Affleck's Batman the most.
Absolutely. If we were ranking individual
Batmans, it would be Ben.
So just for my own self-understanding, who here thinks that Ben Affleck is a better Batman than Val Kilmer? Okay, that makes me feel better.
I think that
I'm very criminally underrated as Batman, so
he's a fantastic Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He was good, he was suave, he was charming and kind.
I thought that's part of the problem, I think, with most of the Batmen, is that they're either really good as Batman and not Bruce Wayne, or really good as Bruce Wayne and not Batman. Like George Clooney, I mean, he basically is Bruce Wayne.
In real life.
In real life.
Right? He's a philanthropist, he's good looking, he charms everybody. He just married a woman who could be Catwoman, you know.
Versus, like, I think Michael Keaton makes a much better Batman than he does a Bruce Wayne.
I would argue that.
I know. I think he has a great
move
right at you.
That's why we're here.
We're going to shut that down right now.
Okay, so is anybody opposed to Batman Forever being number 6? No. Okay, no angry mob. So, we figured this out. All right. So,
I don't know if there's enough people in the room to create a mob if they were all angry at the same time.
Look, I'm wearing a 25-pound dress. It's not hard to come over and just push me, okay? number five.
Okay, I'm going to take this one.
Yeah, you can do that.
I'm going to get some hate, I'm sure. I'm going to throw out The Dark Knight. I think as a movie, it's a pretty enjoyable movie, but I think as a Batman movie, it's not really a great Batman movie. Heath Ledger was great, and I think that is kind of taints a lot of people's opinion of the movie towards the positive. Maybe taint isn't the right word, but I think that Batman, he's not a detective. He's not really that good at fighting except with his elbows, and even with that, it's like, come on, play an Arkham game and you'll see how Batman fights. The voice, right? That was the worst rendition. I'm nowhere in Occupant.
But
like, come
that's also when Batman Begins. So why is Batman Begins bad?
Because I think Batman Begins was good showing like an origin of Batman.
Okay.
And it like kind of, I don't think it was much better. And Batman Begins would be my next worst. But I think as far as a true Batman movie, that The Dark Knight would be the next one for me.
We have two comments. Chris, first.
I was going to second is, as much as I enjoy the Christian Bale films, they never actually feel like Batman used to be. Like, he's decent enough in the role, but like he doesn't really embody that spirit of Batman. It just feels like a crime detective story.
Okay.
With a dude who just happens to dress up.
He's actually doing detective work.
It's just like a crime film with a dude who occasionally dresses up. I'm like, that's not a Batman movie for me.
You?
I didn't really like the Batman Begins really because I like Scarecrow, he's kind of cool, and then I didn't like the whole end plot, where it's Ra's al Ghul's gonna come over and
That was pretty
weird. Take over,
drive a train into the thing.
Like,
yeah,
he met him 10 years ago, and now he's coming back for revenge. Or
it is a good example of Batman killing somebody.
I do want to point out
he didn't kill him.
The justice system in this country still says that's murder.
Yeah.
I think it should be Batman Begins.
I'm good with either one of those interchangeably.
Yeah, I said up Dark Knight because I like Dark Knight. I like the Joker. The Joker's really cool.
Right. But the Joker doesn't make a Batman film a Batman film.
Yeah, I know.
Do we have another comment?
I would put Batman Begins lower as well.
I'm totally okay with
just personal preference because I think that the villains are more compelling in Dark Knight. At least I'm really happy.
I thought Scarecrow was pretty good in Begins. I guess probably not. If you're comparing Heath Ledger's Joker versus the Scarecrow, obviously Heath Ledger's Joker is going to win that battle.
I just really enjoy a good villain. There's not a good villain, then I don't really care.
I just thought the Batman stuff was a little worse in Dark Knight.
My favorite part of Dark Knight, though, it was the origin and the evolution of Harvey Dent. And killing him off, I thought, was the absolute worst thing they could have done. Because they set up three for him to really just take over and destroy so much.
Well, that's because three was supposed to be the Joker again.
I know. And this is a very controversial statement that I'm going to make, and I adore Heath Ledger, but I feel like that Oscar was given to him because he passed away. Because the Oscars have such a terrible streak of not appreciating good acting in other non-Oscar-y films that it was given because this man went through such emotional turmoil himself personally and not because of his performance. I also think they regret not giving it to him the year before Brokeback Mountain, which he completely deserved.
That's what I was going to say. A lot of the time, there's these actors who get it for a film that wasn't quite as good as their previous one because they just should have given it to him before. Denzel Washington, for example, I felt like he deserved it in John Q. Not that Training Day was bad or anything, but I felt like he deserved it in John Q, and they didn't give it to him then, so they felt like they should have given it to him for Training Day.
Yeah.
And what?
Leonardo DiCaprio
is another good example, absolutely. Yeah.
When you compare Revenant to Wolf of Wall Street, it just doesn't hold up. And I mean, Al Pacino got it for Sense of a Woman, and I mean, The Heat was just a better performance. Anyway,
Let me ask this one real quick. So we're talking about Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. Is there any other person out there who thinks a different Batman movie should fall at this point at number five?
Part of me wants to say Adam West. You guys know?
I promise not to yell at anybody that you're wrong if you want to to say something.
Unless it's one of us. So
that's just for this particular moment. That might change later.
So Adam West, I think he encompasses what Batman was always supposed to be because it's Detective Comics.
At least at the time it was released, it was definitely encompassing that. Maybe now it's kind of gotten, the comic books has gone a different route, but...
I mean, he still does detective work, but at the end of the day, of all the live-action movies, Adam West is really the only one who's ever done detective
work. I mean, King did some.
A little bit.
But yeah, I think, and I've always made that argument about Adam West, was that he was... I mean, he didn't kill people for the most part. As far as I know, maybe.
Well, he had shark repellent, not a shark explosion, you know?
That's true. it would have been a Michael Bay explosion.
The entire villain plot of dehydrating the UN was just incredibly...
That was so cool, right?
Are you kidding me? They turned into, like, pixie dust.
But think about all the other Batman movies. The scale of destruction is always just Gotham. And in the 66 film, it's like the whole UN, you know? But yeah, it was like 1960s campy plot. It was like a bad James Bond plot, but it was the entire year.
Batman Begins has some dehydration plot too, so let's just get real here.
Okay, so
that's true.
Number five, who votes for Batman Begins? Okay. Wow. Who votes for The Dark Knight? And who votes for Batman 66? Nobody. Okay, so Batman Begins is at number five. Good job, everybody.
Made a decision.
All right, so that leaves us with four movies. We've got the 1966, the 1989, Batman Returns, and The Dark Knight in chronological order. So who wants to nominate number four in the Batman list?
Chris.
I'm going to nominate The Dark Knight. Thank you.
Anybody opposed? Dark Knight, is it better? Is it higher?
I think we kind of argued this.
So I'm going to throw it out there. I actually would put Batman Returns at number four.
Why your tongue?
There's a reason for it.
We're going to kick you off.
Yeah.
So Michael Keaton is amazing Batman. So this is not a statement about Michael Keaton. It's a statement about the movie.
Which it is about the movie as a whole. Batman is our sole focus.
Batman Returns is a very weird film. Danny DeVito, he takes the Penguin, who is supposed to be this mob boss character, who is... maybe not the most attractive man in the world, and makes him into a creature who he's never intended to be. He's never been inhuman in the comic books. He's never been inhuman in the cartoons. It's the only situation where the Penguin is not just a mob boss.
I will argue that point, because if you pay attention in the Batman animated series, part of the look of the Penguin is inspired by the movie, and he has like flippers and things, so he's slightly deformed in the comics. But
in the comics or the cartoons?
In the cartoons. In the Batman animated series, the look of the Penguin was slightly inspired by the look of Penguin in the film.
Actually, the last Penguin panel they were talking about, the death. Is that not?
Well, I don't know. Maybe just the way they
animated it. Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
Derek loves everybody on his side.
I do. But he might not be. I'm just curious.
The last time we attended a panel with a couple guys from the animated series, they were saying that...
Because I asked that exact question. Was the
Penguin's look in the animated series to coincide with what they did with the interview? And they said no. That it just happened to be coincidence. Because I thought so, especially like with the flipper hands. And
stocky, rebirthing my own body.
And also, if you ever saw like the episode of The Mechanic in Batman animated series, like there's a plot that's like straight out of Batman Returns where Penguin gets control of the Batmobile, and he has to like do like the exact same thing that.
And it was all just coincidence.
Apparently, because that episode came out like a year and a half after Batman Returns.
But it takes a lot longer to animate than animate
the
film, so
yeah.
That makes sense.
That's really
okay.
Cool. Well, so
I learned a new film.
Still, just from a tonal perspective, I felt like Batman Returns kind of went off the rails a little bit and got. It went from dark to just being really Tim Burton creepy and crazy.
And you said, like, there's something wrong with it.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, because one of my favorite movies, like, Nightmare Before Christmas is one of my favorite movies of all time, and it's a creepy Tim Burton film. I love Tim Burton, but from a Batman perspective, I feel it feels the least Batman to me. From the four that we have.
I think the Batman feels super Batman-y, and maybe you have a problem with Penguin, but like Catwoman movie was like the best looking Catwoman, like in her costume and everything. I love the way that Catwoman looked. It's always
dare you to say that's what we
Harry wanted. Her style, her style.
She's not here right now, just for the record, for people listening.
I feel like the tone of Batman Returns, I wasn't even sure what it wanted to be. Like, some of the Penguin stuff gets to be really ridiculous and outlandish, and he bites dude's face off.
I don't know.
Scared the crap out of me.
Batman Returns is my pick for the best Batman.
Really?
Yes.
I'm actually with you. I think
thank
some
you.
Of my favorite shots ever in movies are from that. You know, the whole thing where he's trying to rip out, we're just trying to find Catwoman under the all the wreckage, and Penguin rises up. That's like one of the most beautifully shot scenes in any superhero or any movie. It's my favorite Tim Burton.
But
does that make it a good Batman?
You could argue that the Dark Knight trilogy was, these are really good Christopher Nolan movies.
Oh, we've absolutely already argued that.
Well, that's why there's only one left.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's only one left.
Well, we can do a recap. So there are 9 live-action Batman films that we are ranking today. Batman and Robin came in at 9. Dark Knight Rises at 8. BBS at 7. Batman Forever at 6. And Batman Begins at 5.
And my argument was that, and it's a couple others, was to put the Dark Knight in. Well, actually, mine was put in Dark Knight at 5, but I got outvoted.
So maybe we should do a vote at this point then, so we can
the Dark Knight.
Move forward.
Anybody?
So who thinks the Dark Knight is number 4?
And Batman Returns. Anybody else have any other Batman? Okay.
So the Dark Knight then will go at number 4.
All right.
Yes, finally, the Nolan trilogy is out of there.
I'm
going to protest. But
I like the movies, but they're not good Batman movies.
I like them for what they are. Except for the third one, which is just...
So I am curious, because we do have sometimes the audience is a little thin. Does anyone...
Nice compliment. I've been feeling really thin today, too.
You're all very attractive.
We love you all.
We'd like to take you home to our podcast later
tonight.
No.
We'll buy you drinks.
I'll let her do that.
No.
I have a weird sense of humor. I'm so sorry.
See, now I lost my train of thought. I was going to ask him something.
Well, so if we have the time, which we clearly do, we can add some of the animated ones.
But there's so many. Like, do you include Mask of the Phantasm?
Yes, you do. Anytime you see the Joker slap somebody in the face with a salami, you count it.
There's just my point is, of course it counts, but there's so many animated films now that have Batman.
Yes, Chris.
I would probably narrow the list down to only theatrically released animated Batman movies.
That means Batman and Harley, Mask of the Phantasm,
but then you're
Joe.
You're missing the
and
whole thing, but you're missing the entire DCAU. It was like a 2-night
special. That's still theatrical.
I'm not disagreeing. I said yes. I'm just saying that you have to then leave out a lot of Batman movies.
I just feel like it's hard to ignore that the Lego Batman did better than BBS in theaters, both financially and critically, and in our own home.
Well, first off, it's PG, so anybody can go see it. PG movies should make more money than higher rated movies.
Because they have tripled your audience. Yeah, I get that.
So, you know.
You probably didn't have a $300 million budget either.
I don't know what it costs to make a Lego animated film, to be honest with you. We didn't review that one, so I didn't look at the budget.
Okay, so we have 3 films left.
So let's do this. So we have the 1966 Batman, the 1989 Batman,
and Batman Returns.
So 2 Michael Keaton films,
yes.
And Adam West, of course.
I'm still going to go with Batman 66.
That's a good place for it.
I'm still going to go with Batman Returns at this point. Keeping in mind that Batman 66, it was the first of the Batman movies. I'm not saying that it means it automatically needs to be higher. My point is that it was doing something that hadn't been done before, and it was very accurate to the character at the time, though extra candy. He was a detective, he did detective things, he didn't kill anybody, he didn't get arguably close to killing people. It wasn't like, well, they may have survived. Like, he just straight up was not killing people. He had the entire, UN's lives on the line. Whereas, the 2 Michael Keaton films, obviously they're in the top 3. I love them both. But I do think that Adam West's Batman was a little more accurate.
I'm not sure I agree with
yes.
that.
Yes.
Microphone.
Wait for the microphone. You want to be on the podcast.
Although there were the henchmen that were reanimated with hard water.
Yeah, there was. I was just thinking, Penguin does have. Maybe he's not a mob boss, but he does have like goons in that
and
movie.
And they did die.
Yeah.
Well, of course he has goons.
And he has penguins that have explosives
yeah,
on them.
Yeah, he's the Penguin.
I mean, he's not a mob boss traditionally, but, I mean, he's he still has
well,
people
I mean,
that form that you can classify as a mob.
He's a gangster. Right? Gangster, mob boss, I guess it just depends how big your influence is, which term you use. But, you know, gangster versus mob boss are a lot closer than mob boss and
penguin
creepy
Kringler.
Penguin guy. You know, that's all. All
right, well, do you guys have any nominations at this point? We have three movies left.
I'd say Batman 66.
Let's get the mic to this gentleman.
You and I are friends. Like, let's hang out.
I think A9 should be number one.
Oh, no. We're going to fight.
Why, the reason why is partially because if you understand the historical context of it. Because
okay.
It comes out in 89, in the end of the 80s. So what you have years. Few years before that, you know, King Jim, you have Batman Year One, you have The Dark Knight Returns, and it's just like it captured some of those elements in 89, and it's sort of a radical juxtaposition from 66 that maybe some people, like my women, weren't ready for, but it captures a dark feeling. The Dark Knight wouldn't be possible without Batman 89.
Sorry, I just want to make sure we heard you. Did you say that?
It
should
be
number
one.
Oh, okay. That's why Brian, I was confused by your response, because I was like, I thought you wanted to be
okay.
Number one.
No, sorry, I thought you were nominated for number three, yeah.
No, that's a really good point.
Yeah, modern superhero films wouldn't be as they are without 1989.
I just want to say a couple of positive things about 66. I'll never forget the mechanical shark hanging from your leg. And even when you said they changed the people in the dust, and then they came back and they didn't speak the right languages or something like that. It was so funny. They got the PAL sign and all. I don't know if they had done that in any other movies before. So I like 66.
Yeah,
I
think none of us are against 66.
Well, I guess my thing is, this is not an argument for 66 to be number one. In my opinion, 66 should be number two. My argument here is that It's very accurate to being a comic book Batman movie, that the pals and the kabams and all that is very comic booky. And we got away from that for a while. You know, a lot of the Marvel movies have gotten, especially like Thor Ragnarok, for example, have gotten a lot closer to feeling like a comic book. And I think the 66 movie did that well. I feel like the Batman Returns feels less Batman than the 1989 film or the 1966 film.
I will say also that the only movie on Dark Knight Rises. I haven't watched it since its theatrical release, but even Batman and Robin, I will turn on once a year and, you know, just giggle at it. So, I enjoy all these films and I rewatch them. So there's nothing on here besides the Dark Knight Rises that I just really don't like.
Yeah, no, I'm not with you there.
Maybe we should take a vote on because obviously
you
I don't
have comments.
Oh yeah,
I just have one small comment. Actually, I wasn't necessarily saying 66 is number one, but I wasn't ready for it to be number three.
Okay.
You got two for me. Number one and two are pretty clear.
And I think I'm probably with you on that one as well. So let's go ahead and take a vote at number three. Who thinks it should be Batman Returns?
All right, Batman Returns. That's the majority of the audience. So. Batman Returns is number three.
That hurts my soul.
Now, I do think maybe...
It was one of the first times as a kid I saw a woman be strong and feminine and a bad guy all at the same time. And I can't deny that. I grew up as a cis-identified woman. I still am. And, you know, I hold a lot of passion for Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right, but if you want to rank the suits, we can do a separate ranking in the suits.
Oh yeah, I have opinions on that too.
Animation. Like,
Adam West's Batman suit is not the best Batman suit. It's a different conversation.
But he might have been the one who was like the best in shape and didn't have any extra padding on him. Like I know Affleck got ripped, like Batman is ripped now, but that was Adam West. He
That's
didn't
true.
Have any padding.
Michael Keaton just has ultimate muscles. He didn't have any padding.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so I think it comes down to Batman 66 and the 1989 Batman.
So I'm going to just have a hunch, assume that we're basically ordering them as number one is 89 and number two is 66. Does anybody disagree with that?
I think even if they did, they'd be scared to step up in front of us.
That's okay.
We're not going to paint
this
you.
This is a safe space. All right. So then we do have some extra time. Maybe we should talk a little bit about, like, the bat suit.
Animation.
Oh, animation. Oh, wait, we have another comment. Microphone boy.
I love comments.
I just wanted to make the comment about seeing all the movies. There has been one character that's been portrayed really well in every single movie. It's Alfred.
Yes, you could rank them.
And even in the Gotham show.
I don't know if anybody watches that. Oh, come on, I love Sean Pertwee.
He is the reason I stopped watching that show.
Really?
I mean, I have to hear. Pass the mic.
We're bad things about Gotham.
Well, there's no shortage of bad things about Gotham, but Alfred
Gotham is... He was the one reason I lost my taste for the show. It's just he was a dick.
Well, yes, but Batman's kind of an asshole when he gets older, so I feel like he's got to get that from somewhere.
Batman has always been a nurturing, supportive kind of character.
Are you current on the show? Like, I stopped watching halfway through the first season. He's gotten much better since then. Actually, the whole show really has gotten better since then, and so obviously I can't change your opinion at this point because you haven't. But yeah.
I know their whole goal is to play up the whole military British.
But that's why my favorite Alfred is the one in the new movies.
Jeremy Irons.
Yes. Yeah, Jeremy Irons. Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, we didn't get to see much of him, but
he makes the most sense to me because obviously Batman's not making all the tech completely by himself. So if you don't want to add a Lucius Fox character in that was created for the Christopher Nolan trilogy.
It was not, it was in the Batman animated series.
Oh yeah. Sorry. First off, the animated series is not canon in DC, so...
Rebirth or whatever it was, bring them all together, or Flashpoint or whatever.
And Harley Quinn debuted in that?
He is not.
And Batman Beyond.
I didn't hear what you said.
And Batman
Beyond. You're not holding the microphone, so I can't hear you.
I said, and Batman Beyond was created because of that show. Yeah. He's canon now.
Batman Beyond was created because of the animated series. Yeah.
But...
I didn't do that.
Terry McGinnis is canon.
Yes.
Okay.
I love that. That and Beyond is awesome. Anyway, so we had a little bit of time.
Oh, yeah, Alfred. Michael Caine is the father I wish I had. He's so sweet and cuddly, and I'm just really surprised that Christian Bale didn't hug him all the time because he was so nice. That's my only comment about that. Like, Michael Caine was so supportive of everything.
He was really good recommending that he kills people and burns forests down.
I'm not saying he was a moral compass. I say that
he was super cuddly, though.
Yeah. Burn the forest down with me, Alfred.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's why I don't understand if you don't like Dark Knight Rises, like, how great Mike Keaton's speech is about, like, how he's got this one dream of seeing him see Bruce at the cafe.
Michael Caine was my favorite part of that film. I felt like the whole relationship with both Talia and Catwoman was handled poorly because neither of those characters seemed like women Christian Bale would ever be into, as well as Tom Hardy not being, you know, the awesome luchador we all wanted on the Venom, and the loopholes and plot holes in the movie as well.
I mean, we could spend a whole episode
trashing
that movie.
And we have, I think.
We might have. Just randomly, but...
So, we can just ask some random questions and get your opinions. What is your favorite Batman suit?
Anybody?
Yes.
Have a favorite Batman suit?
You know, I go with the original Michael Caine. I'm sorry, it would be Michael Keaton. For 89, that would be something. That would be another great movie.
Okay, anybody else have anything different than Michael Keaton? And then...
You know, I love it.
You can't specify the Michael Keaton.
I love the suit change.
So my,
did you mean the 89 one or the Returns one?
Oh my gosh.
Ryan wants to know.
Definitely the 89 one, not the 92.
Okay.
It looks weird in 92, the new armor.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I'm with you there.
See, I've actually, I love Affleck's Batman vs. Superman suit. I love the 92 Keaton suit.
I'm with you on that.
It had a crazy, like, armor kind of look. It looks like a bulletproof vest. It just doesn't look like a rubber chest.
Fair enough. Anybody else have a different suit that they can?
I'd probably argue for the
nipples.
Yes, sorry for the nipples. not the silver suit. I think I was going to second the bat. had a basic command suit as well. It just, it looks like it was ripped straight out of comics, but it's also practical, mm-hmm. and that looks armored underneath.
Absolutely.
And he also looks like a refrigerator wearing a suit.
So the BBS suit, because the one in Justice League is different, the BBS suit does seem to be the most realistic from, like, if you were going to be Batman and be in a suit, what would it look like, right? Whereas, you know, Christian Bale's is so armor-focused. And,
yeah,
if I was going to make a Batman, yeah, it would look like the Burnside Batgirl. Like that's what
it
like.
I like that one though.
What I loved about the Affleck suit was that it was it is armored, I guess, because it gets like stabbed in the back of the head and just like stuff or whatever. But I like
the
Affleck
got that one underneath.
Yeah. Well, I like the idea that Batman doesn't need armor and that it's supposed to be his fighting prowess that keeps him safe rather than like relying on an armored suit. Although the Return suit is my favorite suit. But Batman versus Superman did a lot of things right, and I think that was one of them.
One of the things I love about the Batman vs. Superman cowl specifically is, like, in all the movies, they just put black makeup around the actor's eyes and it's supposed to look like it blends, whereas Affleck's mask looks like it truly blends, where you can't see the separation between the mask and his skin, and where his eyes are, it just looks like two of his beady eyes sticking through.
They made the eye holes really small, that's the secret.
It does seem to be the best fit suit.
Yeah, well, I mean, technology has gone a long way, and Ironhead Studios is the one that they do almost all the superhero movies now, but they did the BBS suit, and they did a really great job with it.
I was just wondering if we can also rank Batman villains.
We've actually done that.
We ranked Batman villains according to their, I guess...
Significance.
But all the different Batman villains, they look incredibly different from movie to movie. We can talk about that. Like, was there a Batman villain costume you were disappointed in, or is there one that you particularly like? As a child, whose favorite villain is Poison Ivy, I was both excited and disappointed at the same time at Uma Thurman. I don't know how you can do that, but I was.
Like with her outfit,
you're not only microphone, Chris.
I agree with you. I think watching it as an adult, you kind of look back and you're like, not as cool as I thought it was, right?
Her initial reveal as Poison Ivy,
it's from the
girl, like when she comes out of the real estate, like,
I'm doing that costume next month, and everybody is asking me, will you do the gorilla suit first, and then do that? And that gorilla suit can get on and get off in 10 minutes, and yes, I will. Otherwise, I'll be just bleeding, like, red hair dye everywhere.
I will say that as ridiculous as the character was, I actually really liked Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face look in Batman Forever. It just felt very comic booky. I really liked it.
The suit was pretty cool. The makeup was not great, but...
Slapped glitter on Marvel's 80 Day, and I'm happy.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, Tommy Lee?
It's just way too cheesy.
Yeah, it was...
Oh, no, not the style, but just the straight look, and he didn't talk.
No, I still not into it. The purple, come on.
So do you prefer Aaron Eckhart's look, or do you prefer the cartoon look?
Or neither.
The cartoon.
I thought what they did in the animated series is beautiful, and just, I have very few things that I have wrong. That's wrong. That animated series, but I think the Dark Knight look is probably the superior live action.
I think
it's definitely the creepiest. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that Aaron Eckhart's definitely the creepiest.
Yeah.
Right? And you can see, like, his jaw and you know, tendons moving and things like that.
And you got to think about Two-Face, too. He's still part Harvey Dent from his monster. I don't see Harvey Dent putting on a Purple Atari suit, you know?
No, I figured by that point, Tommy, like, the Dent's gone in Batman Forever at that point. But, yeah, like, I'm not really talking about, like, the character, because... You know, I don't like Batman Forever very much, so.
I think the most polarizing costume so far for just Batman villains as a whole has been Heath Ledger's Joker. When that first appeared, people were very...
Really?
And I don't know about angry or anything. I just felt like people thought it was different. And then, of course, Harley Quinn from the animated series to Suicide Squad. That was a very polarizing costume. I know a ton of people loved it and still love it, and others are just abhorred.
Heath Ledger changed the Joker for me, because I was not sold on him as a casting choice when he was first cast. But for me, after hearing his voiceover in that very first teaser trailer, where it's just the flaming bat signal, I was pretty sold then. But like, that's what I want the Joker to be now, is his interpretation of it.
I want it to be Jared Leto.
I don't want it to be Jared Leto Juggalo. I will say that.
Is anybody's favorite Joker Jared Leto?
I promise not to laugh right
now. I'm just curious, because there's got to be somebody out there, like, you know, other
people.
Okay.
Favorite Joker, Cesar Romero. Jack Nicholson. Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Got you!
You and the animated stuff.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite everything is that animated series.
Mr. Freeze in the animated series is my favorite Batman villain of all time.
Really redefined that character.
Absolutely.
That's my favorite Batman villain.
It's so tragic and sad.
It is. I think that's why I like him so much, though. Whereas, like, the Joker is just straight up
chaos.
That is
your favorite villain.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we have a little bit of time left.
We have about 5 minutes, yeah.
I just want to talk for a minute about some of the other stuff that we do. So we are...
Are you cool with shameless plugs?
It's just a little bit. It's fine.
Yeah.
We are the Heroes Podcast Network, so we are at booth 643. We actually have 4 podcast series and a web show. They're all different content. The 3 of us host Screen Heroes together. Ray also co-hosts our web series called Costume Couture. You want to talk about that?
Well, I want to plug Screen Heroes a bit. Again, we talk about movies and TV and sci-fi, superhero, and fantasy genres. We are live on Twitch every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. So if you want to join us live and join in the chat, just like today, with audience participation, we do that often.
And some of you have had great stuff to say.
Absolutely.
So,
we also have guests on the show every once in a while, and we're looking for more. So reach out to us. We'll invite you to be on the show. And then also, if you don't want to join us, we understand it hits YouTube and all of our podcasting on Wednesdays. Costume Couture, I basically talk about the costumes in just about everything, our life. We have cosplayers on as guests as well. And we talk about the significance of cosplay to people, because for some it's just a hobby, and others it's a life-changing event. We also have a new podcast that's you just started, Redshirts and Runabouts, about Star Trek.
Yep, that's every Thursday. We also have the Saturday Morning Tooncast, which is about Saturday morning cartoons and sugary breakfast cereals. That's our newest show. Episode 5 dropped today, a day late, usually on Saturdays. And we have a video game show called Gamer Heroes every Tuesday, where we talk about
Nintendo.
Last year's BlizzCon. And this week, actually, we had a panel on Friday that was about guilty pleasure video games. So, games maybe you play that you are a little embarrassed to admit.
What did I say my guilty pleasure game was? Oh, Beautiful Katamari. Oh my god, I will play that game forever. You just roll around and collect everything until you collect the universe, and you're in this big black hole. It's crazy. And then, Ryan, do you want to announce your show?
Well, I don't know. We're kind of keeping that tight.
Not really. It is superhero related.
Can I announce?
No.
Come on.
It is superhero related, but it's not like...
It's our first fictional narrative show. It's like a radio show. We have one of our leads is an improv comic. And
none of us.
Not three of us. We are not improv comics. Even though I'm sure many of you thought that, you know, we are hilarious. No, but all of our other shows are very review and opinion based. And this is our first fictional narrative show that we're hoping to launch on December 1st. So we're really excited about that. Ryan is taking the lead on that show.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
If you want to join us next week, we'll be reviewing Justice League, because obviously it comes out this week. So our episode this Tuesday will be this right here. You guys are all on it. Thank you very much. And then the following week will be our review on Justice League. We hope you join us for that.
And that's pretty much it. I do have some business cards up here if you would like to grab one. If not, please go by booth 643 and say hi. We've got some other information there as well about our shows. Ray is at booth CP14, and Ryan is at booth...
417.
I don't know. It's a big booth. We got a big, a nice Batman, blue Batman cowl around the corner. So come check that out and come talk to us.
You guys have lots of Batman stuff.
We have a ton of Batman stuff. Yeah. So if you just want to play with the animated series grapple gun or something, feel free to come by. And as long as you don't break it, I'm good with it.
If you enjoyed the rankings, you can go back in our past episodes. We rank Justice League members, Avengers, Batman villains.
Did we do the Marvel MCU movies yet?
No. Oh gosh, we gotta slide that one in there.
Maybe we'll wait. Should we do it before or after Infinity War? That's the question.
Chris wants to be on that one, but I think I'm going to ask you to come on.
Yeah, I
forget about Chris.
We actually talked about it. That's cool. That would be fun. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, that was it. I hope you liked our ranking from our live Kansas City Comic Con panel. Join us next week as we review Justice League live on Twitch at twitch.tv/heroespodcasts at 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday night. And you can, of course, find us on iTunes and Google Play. We are also on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. You can also stream us directly at heroespodcast.com. We'll catch you guys next week.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.